Zach Jackson, The Athletic. It's pomade, not hair gel, buddy.
I know, but I you know, we have to get some way to kind of awkwardly start these interviews. So.
If I wanted to buy a lake house down in your neck of the woods, what lake would I be on? Which would be the one to go to?
Well, Turkey Foot Lake.
Turkey Foot.
What's happening, Bo, is people that have a lot of money, such as yourself, are buying up the older, smaller places and building these palaces on top of them.
Oh, God, just baller estates right on these.
Yeah. There's a rule that you can't totally knock it down. So they're kind of turning people's houses into, like, their bathrooms and building, like, these Miami-type places on top of them. I'm not even exaggerating.
Is that true? That's what's happening? Yeah. You buy a little house, and then you build, like, all around it?
One of them is straight out of Miami. Yeah, it's crazy.
And this is on Turkey Foot Lake. Okay, how do I get there from
whatever. There are seven lakes, but yeah, it's all around there, yeah.
Okay, so my route from Hudson is what? To down there. I'm not familiar with getting down there.
Straight down 8, hop off at Arlington, and I'm like 3 miles in, four miles in.
Fantastic. All right, well, that's where I need to be. Yep. I am so fatigued by this, quarterback nonsense, and I'm convinced that a lot of it is clickbait, and it is making dead air go away and black air go away on television, and so that there's something to talk about. The NFL's brilliant at this. How are you, as someone whose job it is to cover the Cleveland Browns and their process and deliver what you deliver to your readers at The Athletic, how are you managing this as we're still 10 days away, and this has been 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit in the terms of overkill, but honestly not as much as it'll be 2 weeks from today when there's a third day of the actual draft.
Right.
You know? But I enjoy it. And you know what's funny is we don't do this on Saturday morning every month, but close, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, it was either November or December, I remember sitting in my car at the airport, you know, getting ready to go to a road game, talking with you.
Yep.
And we were talking about Sam Darnold then.
We were.
So my answer is, I was saying Sam Darnold then, I'm saying Sam Darnold now. Nothing that I've been told by anyone, and nothing that John Dorsey has said to anyone, from what we know, changes that. And as far as the Josh Allen stuff, look, I know there's a lot to like about him. I think there's a lot to like about all of these guys. But I've always thought Darnold or Rosen. I have never thought Darnold or Allen. And, you know, finally, 12 days from now, we'll finally find out.
You hit on it, and that's essentially, that's why despite our differences in hair product, we agree on many things. I'm with you. I just don't see, and I think what happens in this, and we see it every single year, is it's paralysis by analysis, and you look for things positive and negative in these guys so much that there's almost nothing else left to say. And what's interesting about it, you referenced a show, and I remember it well, that we did, that we had you on in Saturday, and you're on your way to a road game, and it was December, November, I can't remember exactly. But now I'm thinking back, probably to last summer after, or even last spring after last year's draft, and them not taking a quarterback and going, well, yeah, but it's the Darnold Rosen draft next year.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We have known Darnold Rosen. They have been a head and shoulders above the rest for a year. And typically, these things are pegged correctly. And I think last year with Deshaun Watson, that was kind of proven. Now, whether he can stay healthy or not, that's another conversation. But when on the field, he was clearly capable. And anybody like you and I who like college football watched Deshaun Watson went, well, yeah, that'll translate. And I feel the same way about these two kids. So I think sometimes you just talk yourself in circles almost, and you get back to the beginning, and I'm with you. Darnold Rosen, that seems to be the way that this thing goes.
Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield absolutely lit it up last year. Runaway Heisman winner was awesome. Went to the Senior Bowl, looked like he could play in the NFL, all of those things. You know, but you go back, but like you said, to that Rose Bowl on January 1st, 2017, and what Sam Darnold did against USC or against Penn State that day is what number one picks do, right?
So that's it.
So he has that, and Baker had his moments, and Rosen throws a pretty ball, and Josh Allen had a half against Central Michigan. So, you know, I think that's kind of where we are.
At four, it gets very interesting. I've been Darnold and best available at four because I think that part of the reason that we're in this position that we are with the front office and that Sashi Brown isn't there is because Jimmy Haslam is tired of trading out of picks. That's just my own theory, that he just wants some studs. And so they've got one and four. They have their position to get the best quarterback and the best position player. I don't see any scenario how they trade out of that, and I think that they will take the best player at four. What is your inclination at four for Dorsey in this regime?
My inclination is that there will be a trade.
Really?
Yeah. And I just believe, you know, the reason I would support it, and I understand some people are beaten down by this,
yeah,
is that you know, the Browns aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. It would take a complete miracle for the Browns to make the playoffs this year. Like, this is not an instant fix. And if an offer for number four comes, it's because the value of quarterbacks has never been higher, right?
Yeah, true.
And that offer includes a future one or multiple future twos or things that you just are going to continue to make your team better, you know, over the course of 18 months, of 36 months, Bo. I just don't think you can turn it down. So, you know, Dorsey has played this close to the vest, I think, partially intentionally, partially because the Browns do have so many options, so many needs, so much flexibility here. I just don't think – I think the chalk pick, if you will, has become Darnold Chubb, and I just don't think it's going to be that. I've been around the block with this.
Yeah.
That's just my vibe.
Is that Buffalo then? Is that the most likely partner there?
They're the most likely because they have the most ammo to give up. When they right. started making those moves last year to load up, it was like, okay, we're doing this to get a quarterback. Okay, we did the dance. We moved on from Tyrod. We got A.J. McCarron. We better make this move. That's just the way I read it right now.
So in that scenario, are you of the belief that quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3? That's basically a Giants question, right?
Now,
like,
yes.
Do they?
Yes.
That's basically the Giants
question. I would say 60-40, yes, they go 1, 2, 3, which, you know, some people say that devalues the trade value of number four. But I don't know if that's necessarily true because there's four guys that are above the rest.
Right.
Right? And if QBs are going 1, 2, and 3, you know, I don't know. I guess the way it devalues it is if, you know, it goes, if it doesn't go QB 1, 2, 3, if it goes QB, you know, Barkley or Chubb, QB, and then like Josh Rosen and Josh Allen are there, then maybe you can probably squeeze more because you think you have multiple suitors, but we'll see. Like, I think there's a lot of teams, you know, like the Dolphins and Cardinals, I'm not sure they have the ammo to come up. If the Ravens wanted to, the Browns aren't making that trade with them. So,
no.
You know, it probably does go on Buffalo, and, you know, I can see both sides of the argument about, you know, who going at number two and the effect that has on the ultimate value.
Zach Jackson, The Athletic, one of the most amazing things to me that I'll never understand, and I saw it with this Jarvis Landry deal that was inked this week, was the outrage over the amount of money that is going to him, right? And the idea from a fan, it almost as if it's like it's their money. Like, it's not Jimmy's money. Like, it's coming out of your bank account. I've never understood that. Like, people are so worried about contracts. I understand that the long-term ramifications, but there are no real long-term ramifications of this, are there? Like, they have infinite money to spend. You know, like,
I disagree.
Okay,
they have infinite money to spend now. So look, I was one of those. I'm not one of those people that acts like it's my money. I was one of those people that says, "Whoa, this is a little premature."
Okay.
The fact is, if Jarvis plays this year under the franchise tag and has a good year, he's probably going to get around 30 more guaranteed. The franchise tag was 16. It was still going to be about this. It just struck me as a little premature because, you know, you have till July to negotiate with a franchise guy. And the alternative is not that he goes back in the free agent pool or that the Ravens or Cowboys suddenly land him. He's on your team. So you still have all that time to go. So I just think to interpret it without, you know, taking one side of the argument, because when I did take one side, people shouted me down. You know, the Browns are counting on him to not only produce, but to be the adult in the room there for the receivers and for the offense as a whole. And it's a heck of an investment in year three, but they're saying, Jarvis, make plays, make this offense yours, and lead us, because we don't know what's going to happen with Josh Gordon. We don't know if Corey Coleman can play. You know, we're going to draft a kid that's going to come in that's going to be, you know, between 20 and 23 years old, and he's really going to need to make plays if the other two aren't going to. So they're asking a lot of Jarvis, and they're paying him. And, you know, whatever he thought about getting traded to Cleveland for next to nothing, you know, I think acquiring him for next to nothing is one of the Browns' stronger moves of the offseason.
Right, yeah.
He loves it now because I don't know if anybody else was going to pay him this much right up front.
Okay, well, you hit on that, and that's the next logical question is, did they do it because – and I know that they didn't have to, right? He wasn't going to be – I almost felt like they did it to just get rid of all the distraction. Like, just forget it. Like, he's our guy. We're not going to talk about him, you know, we're matching, you know, franchise tent, none of that. Like, he's our guy. That he's with us. I felt like that's kind of what it needed. Like, with the loss of Joe Thomas, and you look at that room and you go, boy, there's still a lot of kids in there. And it almost felt like, to me, like by signing him, it was like, okay, this guy is a leader of their offense. I don't know him at all. Everything you hear from him in Miami is positive. But It is a lot of faith. There's no doubt. But to me, that was probably from the outside looking in why they did it.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to act like an adult is the question. You're paying him like he's going to. I mean, he was last seen getting kicked out of the game in Buffalo.
That's a great point.
You know, acting like a raving lunatic. But, you know, some people said, and Hugh has said this, that the Browns need that, and I kind of agree with that. And I agree with your take on it, Bo. If they'd have done this the third day after acquiring him, it would have been more of a footnote than now. It's like, wow, Jarvis Landry is the fifth highest paid receiver in the NFL? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, some, you know, timing is everything, perception. In sports, you know, matter. It's just, to me, it's just a little premature because the guy hasn't played a snap for you. But if he is a 90-catch, 8-touchdown guy and acts like an adult, then it'll be worth it at least for 2 years, and we'll see in the third. And what the Browns were saying is we're locking him up, we're going forward, we're closing the book, and here we go.
It was like 70 degrees yesterday, buddy. Did you have an outdoor cocktail anywhere?
Flip-flops
on, anything like that? Pop?
I did. It was beautiful out. It was great. Just an hour ago, there was someone water skiing in front of my house.
God bless them. Don't you love how focused we are? Yesterday, the golf courses were just full.
I know.
We're like, we haven't eaten for 6 months, and someone put a filet in front of us. We're just eating it all in one bite. Like, God almighty, I got to play golf. I got to water ski. My son said to me yesterday, no BS, he said to me, Dad, can we get the slip and slide out? You said when it's 80. I said, well, the ground's still frozen, so I don't, you know.
Well, the question with him is, when is he old enough to drive you back to Hudson after you come down to the boat?
Well, we got to get there. I mean, he's going to be a great Uber driver. He's got one of those ride on GMC Denalis, so maybe I'll see if maybe I could, you know, burrow myself into there and drive on back, buddy.
Nice.
Appreciate
nice.
Very you, nice. As always.
Thanks, Bo.
All right, Zach Jackson, The Athletic. Love talking to Zach. One of the greats.